made can be broken. Once you climb to the sky, it's already running.
Good day to you once again, and I thank you for being here. What's the information that people need to have? I was just reading the Richard Wurmbrand book, and these were letters to Jesus that he wrote while in solitary confinement. And probably this kept him from going mad, but some of the questions he would ask was, well, the Father said he was well pleased with you. Was he well pleased when you were crying out? Your humanity was crying out from the cross? Was that okay? Is our humanity okay? Or does he disdain it? It got me thinking. You know, it got me thinking. First of all, I had a dream. And I'm just going to relate to you this dream because it's very horrifying in a sense. I was at a seminar. Some guy and his wife, they were propped up. He was, I don't know, some sort of guy who had things figured out. Like, you know, and the people there were kind of in a cult. And I thought this was a theater. Walked in, told his wife my thoughts about life or whatever. And then, of course, I started trying to get my way out of there. And then I realized every time I tried to leave, there was another obstacle. At one point, I was going down a river, trying to get down this river, and wound up in a building. I don't know how, but then with the same guy there. I tried to get out the balcony. Same thing. And eventually, the people got tired of me. And I started getting tired of them, and I started confronting them that they were just on a ship of fools, and they were following this guy that's going, taking them nowhere and has no answers. And I don't respect him, just as I would not respect anyone who would get up there and say they are the way. They have the answer. At last, they have the solution, and I don't believe it. Perhaps that's part of my own growth process, but I couldn't get out. And I tried this way and that, and finally they started confronting me, putting people at the door and then threatening me with violence. And the message was, I was in hell. That was what hell was like. It was the most awful thing in the world. I couldn't get out, and I was stuck with these sycophants and this sort of leader that had no answers. And they had everything kind of supernatural abilities to corral us so we couldn't get out, and they wanted us to accept the mind control, and they were going to beat it into us if we did not submit. And then I realized it's not hell after this life. This is the hell of this life. And then I realized Pastor Wurmbrand was in a solitary confinement writing letters to Jesus, but these people are in a prison they can't get out of. And then I realized they really go for one exit, they go for another. There is no exit. There is no exit. Just like a famous play of that name, No Exit, about having gone to hell. I was also reminded of that wherever we go, now they would not liken it to a prison because they're busy, they have things to do, and their job is to gather souls in and then not let them out. And that's what they're involved in, gathering souls in and not letting them out. Well, when I awoke, I asked the Father, oh, please, please, I don't want to go back there. And he gave me some words of instruction how I would be able not to go back. For one thing, I did not say enough adequate prayer. I was not in communication with him before sleeping. And I really need to be in constant communication with him. Constantly in the word, constantly talking to people about their immortal souls, which is something I naturally do. I always talk to people about spiritual things. And that brings them to mind of, you know, but I have not been sensitive to their awful status. That is, yes, being controllers of the world, you know, having jobs to keep everyone else in, but they themselves are in prison. And then I realized we are in prison physically here. That is the lambs of God. Those people that are the Lord has chosen. That is Yahshua, Yahweh, Elohim has chosen. The creator of heaven and earth has chosen. He has his own set apart people, of course. Not to say that these people are any more virtuous than anybody else, but he's made that decision. And what the deal is this. Freedom comes to us through Christ, who liberates us to spirit. Now, if we go to the John chapter 3, to the chapter that deals with Nicodemus, that which is born of spirit, Jesus says, is spirit. Now, that is the liberation. But physically, though we are free in spirit, we remain in prison, just like, in other words, it wasn't the afterlife. It was the fact that I couldn't get out of this place, and I had to keep listening to the world, really, and their mind control, and they kept trying to pound it in. And the more I resisted, the more violent they would get toward me, the more they wanted to force it, even to the point of violence. That's the prison we are in. In other words, it was a dream about the prison we are in. And as far as the guy running it, the interesting thing is his name was Albert Gore. But he was no relation to Al Gore, the the senator and the the presidential candidate Al Gore. He was not a relation, but he was more like, he was, let's just say he had some kind of a charisma, some sort of people were following him. And his name was Albert. And I hope that's not a portending of future. And he did have a wife who seemed nice at first. But ultimately, they were working for the same guy. In other words, they were working. Finally, I realized he didn't care that much about what he was saying. She didn't care that much whether you listened. It was really about keeping you there. That was the whole point of whatever he was talking about. Make it interesting enough to keep you there. Make you feel like you're getting some answers, so they're going to keep you there. You see? You were going to get some answers little by little, and you were finally going to get to the big answer, because it couldn't be Jesus, right? That's what the world's thinking. So they keep looking for another answer. And there are guys like this out there who will string you along. If you like to make him a Luciferic character, that he's Lucifer or he's Satan, sure, he could be the charismatic Satan, leading people along just a little at a time, making them think they're going to be free one day when they're never free. And then I saw old friends going down the river, and they were faster than me, and they could jump in the river and jump in the next pool, but ultimately you get to a place where there's a steep cliff and you can't go any further. So you have to go back. You got to go back. They're waiting there at the end of that cliff where you thought you were getting free. Every road you go down, they're at the end of that road. And then I realized it. It's not such a big deal to be gathered in like that, to mistakenly go to a thing like that, and you know, get trapped. But the error comes when you try to physically get out of one of the exits, and you realize that there is no exit, but you keep trying to get out. You see, man cannot free himself from that prison and that bondage. Man cannot be free. Now, he may say he has the New Age religion, but that's just to keep him on the hook. That keeps him on the hook because it doesn't change anything. He still has to do his rituals, and he still has to suck up. He still has to obey the hierarchy, doesn't he? If he wants to make a living, if he's in that system, that's what he must do. So he's not going to get out. He can't get out. At the end of the day, he's stuck. He's got to work, and then he's sick, and then at 75 years old or 70 years old, And people are going to work now until death because they're so far in debt. At the end of his life, there's no retirement. There's just maybe a poor old folks home waiting and a bedpan. So for all his hard work, all his trying to make ends meet, all his putting food on the table, at the end of the day, he gets kicked in the teeth. That's man's lot, friends. And he doesn't want to think about it. So he watches a big screen TV and he goes to his events and he's caught up with politics and caught up with sports because he doesn't want to think about that eventual end. He doesn't want to think about his immortal soul. He doesn't want to think whether there's life afterwards. He just wants to do his bit and then die like everybody else and not have people come down on him. He's very worried about what people think about him. And that's part of the programming. But I'm not worried about what they think about me. The reason why is because I've had a steady diet. I've had a blessing that most people haven't had. A steady diet of rejection and people thinking and talking bad about me since I was a child. Not people are people. They're people. You know, like they got to get me under control or I'm doing this wrong or I'm doing that wrong. Constantly, they even tried to tell me before this record came out, which has been played, it's already been validated even by the world. But the people that are pretending to be like me, and I'm surrounded by them, are you? Well, of course you are. They are assigned to us. We are in prison. They don't wear guard uniforms, but they are there. They are our prisoners. And I realized, I wonder if I could talk to Richard Wurmbrand today, we could have a conversation like this. Well, Richard, don't you realize that you're in as much a prison now as you were when you were in Romania? You've come out. You want to tell your story. You have a platform. You're a published author. You were famous for running the underground church. And everyone has shut you out. No one wants to hear your testimony in America. Indeed, you have to be in exile here and keep a low profile because there are real dangers. So you're basically under house arrest. I mean, it's nicer. You can have your wife. You can have a couple of friends, but you're just no different than us. We're in prison. There are places we just can't go. We got to pray for protection every time we go anywhere because they seem to be watching us and looking to make a move. In other words, if they can get away with something, they'll do it because they want to please their master and put even more food on the table so that they can die with their bedpan in peace. Sorry, but that's the way it is. So was he in prison? In fact, at one point, Richard Wurmbrand said, and I believe this is true, Barbara Marcotti can check me on it, but I believe that he said he wanted to go back to prison because that's where the real ministry was going on. And I believe it's because he realized this is a more confining prison is outside the prison walls. When I had been incarcerated, I felt exactly the same way. There was more freedom within and having monitors and having people have to take me to a doctor appointment or take me to eat lunch or something. There was more freedom. And I can't really explain that to someone who hasn't had that experience of not being allowed to go somewhere or do something. But I fortunately have, and I can tell you, I had more freedom in that situation. There was more freedom. There was more time to gather my own thoughts. And there was no one really trying to overtly mind control me, and that's because of the fact that I was already in, I wasn't going anywhere. They had exterior control. I obeyed. So hence my mind was fine. You see what I mean? I was getting away with, I was thinking all kinds of things. I was playing a game. You know, on the one hand, I was appeasing the masters. On the other hand, I was seeking the truth. So we are in as big a prison, in a lockdown situation that we can't get out of. And we have monitors. Those who are unaware of the monitors, it means that you are more like sacrificial victims. You're there to be used like batteries. And so they will monitor you, steer you, give you a job, steer you this way and that. But all the time, they're getting the labor off you. They're getting your brilliance. They're getting your part of your soul. And what they're doing is harvesting you little by little on a daily basis, making sure that you think the right things, that you run around in the box like a good, well-behaved little rat, that you go through your little maze and get your cheese And then off the stage you go, ready for the next generation. Because really, 100 years from now, all new people. You guys aren't going to be here. I'm not here. All new people. Another generation. Imagine that. Like, your drama is so big. You're out of here very soon. Those of you in middle age and beyond, you're out of here very soon. Hallelujah, I know. Great. But the thing is, how important is this? So how do we walk free? And the key, I believe, yesterday we dealt with the prophet of social justice, Micah. And Micah confirms what Ezekiel says. So I think that's very interesting. And it all comes down to cruelty of the state and the use of witchcraft and magic for power. And, of course, that involves killing people for power. So those of you who don't know anything about the controllers or the people assigned to you, means you're a sacrificial lamb. And at some point, they may have designs on killing you. I don't know whether in a hospital, if you check in for something, who knows? But the only way you cannot worry about something like that would be to submit your life to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is God, who is God in the flesh, who was punished for the sin of the world to reverse the curse, and all who believe in him shall be set free because they will be born again of spirit. Yes, you see, of spirit. And I'm just turning now to John 3. Now, I know I've taught from this before, but there's a certain few chapters that, you know, they can't be overemphasized. Now, Jesus answered Nicodemus when he's saying, well, does a person really have to, how can a person be born again? They're already born once. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That, see now, entering into the kingdom, my belief, I'm not going to ram this down your throat, but because of Luke 17:21, I believe that we enter the kingdom the moment we're born again. That we are in the kingdom. That Jesus needn't do anything else for us. And I'm really, you know, people are looking forward to this and that. I'm not looking forward to anything. I have to tell you, I'm satisfied. Is that wrong? I'm not satisfied with this world. I never will be. You know, I think the world is inept. I think it's hilarious. I think it's a big joke. I think it's evil. I think it's a tragedy for children to be born here. Because their parents, they're being born into a lineage of disobedience. I think it's terrible ultimately, but a good part of me laughs at it. Especially when I see the controllers and handlers trying to act like they're not really doing that. Look, I hate to tell you this and break you the bad news, but you're all in prison and every one of you have people assigned to you who listen to this broadcast. They know you listen to this broadcast. They're not worried because they're thinking, well, you know, give them bread and circus. Let Z entertain them. Make them think that they're going to get free, but we really own them. And what they can't hear is the fact that we're not looking for the exit, Mr. Controller, Mr. Handler. We are a thriving underground church protected by Yahweh himself and ordained by the living God. I have been ordained to this position by God, not by you. I did not come up with it in my own head, though that's what you believe, because you can't see the things of the Spirit, and I feel sorry for you. But we really have the advantage because we are of the Spirit, and you are of the flesh. Therefore, you don't understand what we do. To you, we seem foolish. Look at them playing church, you might say. Well, we're not playing church. It's going on. We are the church. The 501c3 church is not the church. We are the church. In case you misunderstood that, the church that is the state church that says Jesus is the same state church in the time of Adolf Hitler. They are no church at all. They are the Babylonian world system church, and they will scalp your soul if you go there and try to get cushy-cushy with them. They will want something from you in exchange for membership, and that's every church in America. There are no exceptions to that. I've never seen an exception. And I have never had even one of these people or any pastor ever challenge my information. They all go, yep. Then they say, see, what am I going to do? If I stand up there and say something, they're going to, you know, tear me down. Yep, you're not supposed to talk about what we talk about because you're not free. Mr. Pastor, you're not free. Maybe one day you'll be free, but to me, you're just like a guy, like an accountant or like a businessman. You're not a pastor of anything. You're basically working for your controllers, keeping people inside the prison walls, making sure everybody conforms, and that's your job. And so you, when you do the word of God, it's always about behavior, ethics, behaving, being a good guy. You might talk about prayer and so far as, you know, performance, but bottom line, it's always going to come back to ethics, taking care of your family, all these kind of good values, but all of them are really about staying in your prison. That's really the bulk of sermons today. Or how to perform better and get even more money than you have now by being more obedient and giving stories about, you know, don't worry, if you feel oppressed now, the rapture will come and take you away. You know, you'll be with Jesus soon enough. And you'll die on cue. You'll die on cue, and that will be your great work. You'll do for your controllers and handler. You'll pray for them. And I say, yes, of course, pray, but do not throw pearls before swine. Do not pray when the Lord says to you, do not pray for this one, pray for that one. In other words, he will direct your prayer. One good prayer for us is to say, Lord, Father, God, please direct my prayer. Please direct me so I can pray what you want me to pray, where you want me to serve. Thank you, Lord. And he loves that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And spirit there is capital. So that which is born of the capital spirit, meaning that which God gave life, is life. Because flesh is death. Flesh is not life at all. Flesh is prison. Do you understand? So, yes, you'd say, well, then why are these controllers and aren't laws enough? Why are there controllers and handlers? Because it just is that way. I don't know how it became that way, but it's very organized. There are controllers. There are handlers. They have also the ability, supernatural ability, to be ahead of you in time, because we exist behind time. We are not. One of the things that happens when people are initiated is that they jump forward in time. There's no joke. Now, this is not a laughing matter. It's not something you go, and put your finger to your head and consider it. I'm simply telling you a fact. They jump ahead in time, and they go, oh, my God. They're so mind-blown at that point. They're like, why didn't I do this earlier? And things start falling in their lap, and money and different things. But ahead in time, meaning they're ahead of you. Ahead in time, meaning they can be the controllers, handlers. They can meet in secret. They can, you know, they're brought in, and then they're given assignments and told what to do regarding who? You. Me. Wormbrand. Others. Now, you needn't worry about that. But when you ask, how could I go somewhere, and they're there waiting, it's because on one hand they have the time factor sus, because in the demonic realm, which are the spirits that control them, they're not subject to the law of time. So that's one reason. The other reason is that everything is organized for them kind of ahead of time. So they will go where they need to go ahead of you. And these coincidences, you know, a lot of times when people get fast or whatever, they get and they start noticing all the coincidences. Yes, well, all the coincidences that start happening are really because of the time issue. It proves the fact that the timeline is already corrupted in some fashion, but not so much that it would bother the Lord. The Lord allows it. It's supernatural. There's powers of magic, witchcraft, dividing the roof. There's the ancient powers there, and they have the ability to fold space, collapse time, go through portals, build their pyramids, have other worlds, castles in the air. I've seen that. There's a whole bunch of things in the air around the world. Furthermore, ships, cities hovering over the earth that you can't see with your naked eye. They're there. If there were some glasses you could wear to see them, you go, oh my God. Well, when one goes through to the other side, they see the whole thing. They see the whole, all of it. And they're so excited because there's the real power. At long last, their eyes are open and they see everything and they go, where can I serve? Well, you got to go handle these people. You know, just, and report back to us. Well, they don't have to report because they invade the soul. They invade the vessel. So they're the ones who use the carcasses to invade, and then they don't need to report back to anyone. Their eyes and ears are the ongoing video camera to the hive, to the central command, which operates on a beehive-like perfection. It's so mind-boggling to people when they finally see it, they decide they're never going to get out. So they obey their masters and they do whatever. They become drones and they do whatever they're told. Eventually, their souls are taken. In other words, what was them is no longer them anymore. What used to be them becomes something else. The people who do remain conscious throughout their lives become more and more sorrowful because they realize, oh, there's no way out. Anyway, even they will back someone like me because though it seems futile what I'm doing, it's not. Because we're not only bucking the system, which of course is a system of death, and if you go there willingly, you are dead from day one, and then eventually that reality becomes real when they take your vessel over. I.e. you're not here anymore. Something else inhabits that vessel. All too often what happens, the typical story, is they get caught up with a power, and they wield it through life. They get control. They sleep with guys' wives. They lie, they cheat and steal, they get all this money, there are no consequences, no jail, no nothing, because they're in the system, they're in the club. At the end of their life, when they're no longer useful, that power jumps out of them, leaving them just an atrophied sack of shit. And that's what they end up being. Remember, off to the bedpan. That's 99% of them. That exact story is true. Women and men. Women think, oh, they get the husband dead. Go get a facelift. Go out and find some romance for rich widows in America. Oh, well, yes, they do that. But then they 5 years into that stint, they fall into sorrow because they're still going to die. They've been taken advantage of by a gigolo. Their families have turned on them. All they want is their money. So everybody gathers around to get the money and to kill the bitch off. And that drives them to sorrow because it was never about them. No one really cared about them. Unless one of you is around. Of course, we care about them. A lot of times that's the best time for ministry. Right at that point. So they say, it's such a sad reality. I can't deal with it. I just got to watch my soap operas and watch my shows. And I just don't want to think about it. And when my time comes, I'll just die and that's it. Well, what a sad life that is. So you never really lived. You gave up as a teenager and you just let them have their way with you your whole life. And then you died on cue. How nice for you. How obedient you are to your enemy who wants to kill you and kill all humanity and who is against God, who is your maker, who loves you. You've stabbed everybody in the back. You made a big, nice bed for everyone to lie in. And now it's your turn to lie in it and you don't want to. Too bad. Now we are in prison. The way out of prison is this. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Once you're born again, you become what? You become spirit. So it's not just being born again and you're like Jerry Falwell grubbing after money and making a very bad image for him and Robertson. Between the two of them, they must have caused more hatred of Jesus than the other gathered in. Oh, yeah. Well, the bottom line here is that that which is born of spirit is spirit. That which is born again, meaning born of spirit, is eternal. That which is born of spirit is in the heavenly kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. Because Luke 17:21 says, don't say lo here or lo there, the kingdom's within you. And he did not mean the kingdom is amongst us who are the brethren. He meant the kingdom is within each one of you. Further to that, you are God's child. There is nothing else but you and God. All the rest of this doesn't really exist. You're the one who has to be born. You're the one who has to do the dying. The only one that's going to be there for you is the Father. He's the only one that really knows you. He's the only one who made you. There really is nothing else. And that's the holographic universe, that you think there's all this multiplicity, things, events going on. There are no events. There's just you and the Father and what you will do. And that's it. And that, and nothing else exists. And that goes for every single person. But they are not important. No, putting people first is, as Bill Clinton said, is one of the great satanic statements. That's actually a ritual witchcraft statement. He says, putting people first, that's witchcraft. Putting people first, meaning you're going to put man first, which is you're going to put the system in the circle of shame, black magic, ritual death, war, hatred, pain, lack, poverty, drugs, corruption. That's when you say, I put people first. That's what you're saying. You see what I mean? It's a criminal's cry. And of course, Clinton is a criminal to beat the man. Of course, they all are. So that's why he disappears. Now, I put people first. Well, I put God first because I put myself first. Now, before you say, oh, now Z's lost it. No, I put myself first. What does that mean? I put my relationship with my maker first. That's putting myself first, truly. In other words, I put myself in my predicament first, i.e. I have to find a way out of this. What's the way out? He is. I am not. He is the I am, and I am not. So what do I have to do? Now let's flip over to John 17. And I know you've been through this a million times, but maybe I'll show you something new. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. In this business, when you follow Yahweh, every day the old dogs learn new tricks. Every single day. So let me go to what I have underlined here. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us. Now how is that, that we are one, yet we are plural? In other words, that Jesus, they may be all one as we are, I and thee, and they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So not only do we, being born again then, involves being one with him, but when you are born again, what's inside you is not only the kingdom, but God himself is inside you. When you're born of spirit, capital S, you become spirit, little s. So that which is born in you is spirit. That power resides in you. Before you were born of spirit, while you were yet sinners, meaning you were not forgiven because you did not have accept the blood of Jesus Christ and accept the spirit in you to be born again. Therefore, you were cursed with the sin, and you were slaves on top of it of these controllers and handlers, which exist throughout the whole world. Even the suggestion they have of why don't you go do this? Why don't you go do that? That's all been prepared for you from the future, because they have people waiting to open the door for you for some purpose they have. These people are all compartmentalized. They don't ask why. They just do their job, okay? They don't have the whole picture. They can't tell you. All they know is that they open the door for you and you go in, or they slam the door in your face, depending on whatever they're told to do. Mothers, fathers, children are also handlers and controllers. Grandchildren are handlers and controllers. They're little Nazi brown shirts, little traitors. Anyone who becomes a handler and a controller, number one, is a traitor. Number one is a Nazi sympathizer, traitor, brown shirt, whatever you want to call them. They have put a knife in the back of humanity, of their fellow man, and said, I prefer a prison world and to enslave every single person on earth just so I can have my meat on the table. That's despicable. And that's what the deal that they made with the devil. I'm sorry. But that will never be all right in my book. How about you? So when I see the handlers and controllers, I start laughing. I write them very funny emails. Like, oh, God loves you and so do I. When you say that to them, it wrecks their whole day. When you say I hate you, well, it's like they feed on that, right? Because everything is backwards in a mirror. So they would feed on hatred and pain and suffering. They feed on that. Oh, they're once they become like that, they're horrible people. But are you any less horrible in your flesh? No, your flesh is flesh. They've simply embraced it and become all the more horrible. You struggled against it and you lost, did you not? I sure did. I lost. I need the blood of Jesus. I pray, thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Jesus, cover me with your blood right now for the rest of this show. I repent, Lord, for anything I might have done that is not in your interest, and that where I have not put you first, I repent for that. And I will seek again to be your servant, Lord, to put you first and foremost. That means I talk to you. And when I feel dry and I don't hear your voice, that means I'm going to turn to my Bible and I'm going to read until you and I are talking again. And my friends, that is exactly what you must do. If you can turn to the Bible, you turn to your, I like the King James, you turn to the Word. That's the Word of God. That's the only real manual left for us in this horrible world. Turn to it, and turn to him, and he will turn to you. And if you feel dry, like you're not able to conduct a one-to-one conversation in your room or in the spirit, you just simply turn to the Word. Read a few chapters. Let the Spirit guide your hand in terms of jumping around or whatever it has to be, and you will hear from the Lord. For example, right now I'm led to go into another scripture for you, because I know that this Word, but you know, we can't just feed you, you know, raw Word. I mean, I would read and continue. I've done a few chapters and I would read more, but you're not ready for it, for the kind of reading that's going to take place, a reading via the Holy Spirit. But you have to really understand, the Bible is not a document of this world. You say, well, corrupt people put it together. Yes, the Lord, all people are corrupt. So basically the Lord uses people who are all corrupt to do lots of things, including printing. Why should there be an exception for the Bible? Suddenly people become uncorrupt and make the Bible and then they go back to being corrupt. Excuse me. Hello. Or, you know, even better for these legalists, especially, I love them online, you know, where they say, they keep wanting to browbeat you with scripture. They want to browbeat you and they want to get you to admit that you don't know what you know. And here's my answer to that. When you have God inside you, you know everything. You're a real know-it-all. And, there is nobody that can correct you unless the Holy Spirit leads you into accepting a correction. Now, when they come at you with scripture and they go, all scripture, you know, when they look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and they try to hit you with that and say, you see, I'm giving you scripture, but you're too prideful to accept it. You simply say back to that person, I have sought my Father in this matter, and he tells me not to listen to your scripture and not apply it because you're applying it out of your own ego, out of your own mind. You have not sought the Lord before applying. Nobody can apply scripture to you and your behavior unless they have heard from the Lord. Now, there's a legalist out there who's completely dead in the spirit. Her name is Lisa Ruby, who's now, I wondered how long it would take her to actually put Medivh up there and say it's evil from the devil, because I said the genre is trance and techno, and because that's what it is. It's got elements of that. But, you know, with me, I don't stick to anyone's genre. I blend. I just do what I do. But in trying to describe it, we have to try to figure out a way to, you know, to put the elements in there. But anyway, that doesn't matter to her. She sees it written there. She doesn't inquire of God. She doesn't, when she prays, she doesn't listen. And she just writes, it's evil, because it says trance or whatever. And, you know, it's evil. She doesn't seek that the Lord gave unction to produce that record. Because anything he doesn't want me to do, believe me, it gets blocked. So if that record got created and produced and distributed, it's because he made it happen. I can't make it happen, and I don't have a army of people behind me. I'm in prison. You're hearing from me from prison. I have very little, I can move around very little because of the, you know, thrill seekers out there that can get away with doing harm to our people. And so I have very few options. And they say, if you don't like that, join our side. It's like, why would I kill myself and then think I would live? I wouldn't. I wouldn't. That's not a move that any of us would make. We have the Lord. I'm free in the spirit. But I can understand how Richard Wurmbrand would think he is more free in prison. And they wanted to go back because that's where real ministry was taking place. I can understand that. This is a much more harsh prison. And you're all in prison. And everyone surrounding you are your enemy, even though they smile on your face and they your boss, your coworker, your mother, your father, your children, you think they're all, that's what they are. And they meet and they snicker behind your back and they say, gosh, he doesn't have a clue who we really are. Do you starting to get the picture? All right, well, Lisa Ruby, and because, I mean, if you look up my name, you see her beware his net on the Google thing. I don't know how she keeps it up there. No matter what work we do, she's always up there with her critique of how evil Zeph is. But I have to tell you, most of the friends I have, most of the contacts that I've made, most of the books and albums that, not albums yet, but most of the books and things, most of the people who participate in this ministry came from Lisa Ruby. I know. And that's what I tell people. Like they get mad and I say, don't get mad. She's the without her out there, we wouldn't have half the people that we have in communion with, in joint fellowship with. You know, that's just one of the realities. And you know, if, and, but anyway, what I'm saying is she works for them. She's one of the handlers, controllers. The idea is, she'll find legal, you know, she'll find whatever's on the surface and write about it and say, that damn Zeph, this damn Zeph, he says he brews beer. See, it's all written in his own words, you know, like a lawyer would do in court. But she does not inquire of the Lord, and she is dead of the Spirit. And I'm saying this publicly because it is true. You may want to pray that she wakes up, but I believe that she does work for the other side. And a friend of mine wrote her, you know, just a thing with a video link. And she writes him back saying, oh, looks like Zeph is trying to trigger the mind control victims. I mean, she's a complete idiot. I'm sorry. And, you know, she can't recognize what satire is. The fact that I'm making social criticism with the song To Be Loved. And I'm flashing all these images, not to trigger anyone, but to just show these are the people that are triggered. These are the people. This is our culture. This is what it's all about. See, don't you want to sell your soul and become one of them? I made it look very garish and ugly. It's not a great video. I'm an amateur video maker, but a professional musician. At this point, I am a professional. Been played on the radio, been validated, and I've been bought. In other words, the product has been bought. So that makes me a pro again. Anyways, I was a pro before, so. But the interesting thing is, and I was just wondering, and I'm hoping that she will comment on To Be Loved, Prima Donna Wannabe, where our sister in Christ goes off on a tirade swearing. Was a very honest moment and very refreshing to me, because not everyone is perfect all the time. And it was a very honest, having a bad day and all, she let it fly. And I don't think you'll ever find another moment like that on in a podcast. And then there's other kind of music we do. But just the idea that these people would say, oh, it's electronic. They make judgments about us. Well, there's no satanic spirits in it. In fact, Messiah in Dread, I believe, may give this CD to a couple of people who may have rejected Christ. And maybe because the spirit's in this thing. And as I told you before, it has been known to be effective. That is Medivy. And look, it's out there in the world. I mean, we have it in record stores and we have it in digital download sites, and anyone can go there. There are people out there who have bought it who are not believers. Wow. And the Lord may direct it. It's very exciting. But I contend that this may be a record, a CD that you could give to somebody who absolutely hates Jesus. Because remember, just the show yesterday, we have the slaves coming over to the Caribbean from Africa. And one of the ships, as Messiah and Dread was telling us, said Jesus on it. So you don't think the fact that these Rastas have found their way to Jah and now to Jesus and to the Trinity and to the power of the Lord, who are social outcasts because of their love of Father. And they go back, in a sense, spiritually to Ethiopia. And then that came from the diaspora of Jerusalem, Ethiopia being Israel in absentia, believe it or not. God entrusting some of his sacred things there in Ethiopia. And I would say knowledge, as well as some artifacts. Interesting, there's a direct lineage of Solomon to Ethiopia. So for those of you who like to follow genetic lines as a, some cause and basis for how God does things, there you have some evidence right there. Interesting, isn't it? How these dregs of society would end up being some of the high priests of the world today. I'm not saying the ones that would worship the Emperor Haile Selassie. I'm saying that there is a direct connection to the Holy Spirit, and that is the revelation of Christ all over again within each person who is born of Spirit. And that's what, see, we have to have a kinship with this movement because of the fact that these are lambs, i.e. outcasts. They're not participating in the Babylonian, they even call it the Babylonian queen system, proving the first person I found that actually proves what I said about the occult matriarchy, that the world is a matriarchy, and they acknowledge it. So we have a connection there. There you have it. They call it the Babylonian queendom. I call it the queendom as well. And I affirm Babylonian queendom as a term that's valid. That's why you have handlers and controllers. There's also supernatural power there that keeps these people hidden and keeps them around you without you detecting it. Okay? And when you're an outcast from it, and when you're really separate from it, like I just laugh at the handlers in control. I mean, I accept that they're there. And I pointed out, and I contend that Lisa Ruby is one of the handlers and controllers. Whether she's aware of it or not, doesn't matter. She works for the slave masters. And she goes after people. She has no spiritual discernment. All she knows is book learning. And all she knows is what's written on the surface. She can't see. She's blind. She only knows the flesh. She does not know the spirit. She is not brethren. You know, but she puts herself out there as an expert when she is no expert. Not only is she no expert, but like I said, she does not only not walk in the spirit, she condemns. I'm sure if she got some Rastas, she condemned them too. Or the fact that I had a beautiful brother in Christ on, condemned that too. But we put up with her. We work with her. She is our PR person. You know, like it or hate it. I had to get over that.
Please like me.
No. She does a good job for us in putting PR out. And she's got to write something new because it's been a long time and it's gotten a little bit stale. So Medivy is the new thing. All right? Don't worry about it. Don't pray. Pray the opposite, that she and her husband wake up one day and stop serving the masters of the universe, the controllers, the handlers, the satanic people. They say, well, no, we're against Satanism. No, they're not. They work for them. They work for them. Well, who does she condemn? James Lloyd, Dr. Stan, Miracle Two Soap. I mean, it's of course, you'd start laughing at a person like this. I'm not going to give it any more time. I'm just going to say that I'm thankful for the blessing of having our material talked about because it helps. And believe me, when she condemns it, as being satanic, it means the world may buy it. Yes. And without her help, they won't. They'll think I'm pulling something over on them. See, she validates me as the real thing, a rebel. Not part of the satanic, the Babylonian queen church system. Or the legalist system online, which is part of the Babylonian system. In other words, the legalists that go around browbeating, they work for the handlers and controllers. They're not spiritual people. They've never been born of the spirit. But they work as handlers and controllers. That's their job. They watch, and then they go to chat rooms, and they cause disruptions, or they try to attack people who are spiritual leaders. Anyone who has the spirit, they attack. So in that category, you could include the Sherry Shriners of the world, the Elizabeth Elijahs, who is a charlatan that bilks people for money. And on and on and on. People are very hungry for the word. They're hungry for the spirit. They go to these people and they get nothing because they're not born of the spirit. I'm just mentioning people that have condemned me on their sites. If you condemn me on your site, it's like living proof of what I already suspected, that they're dead in the spirit and they have no discernment and they're not really, you know, they're not brethren. They're working for the other side. They're discrediting the people of God for the purpose of boosting themselves up in the world system. And of course, the world system is just going to spit them out as soon as someone else comes along. So I just pray that one day they come out of their Babylonian whoredom, but that's where they are. And that's why they're online. But I affirm Dr. Stan's ministry, and I affirm some others that I've heard of that are smaller. You know, I affirm some blogs. And so there are good people out there, not to say that everyone is bad. You got to listen to me. No, you don't have to listen to me about anything. Anything. I'm here doing a service. Tune in, tune out, but do all things unto the Lord. We don't really care. We not even care about numbers. I don't care if there's three people. I don't care. You see? And the reason I don't care is because the only thing that matters is my Father and what He thinks. And the same thing should go for you. If I have handlers and controllers around me, it's because He's allowing that to be there for some reason. But the lesson that it's taught me is this. You know, I am free. Not physically, but the kingdom exists within me. That's unlimited freedom. Unlimited. I'm unlimitedly free. I walk in kingdom. And when I walk out in society, in the city, and so forth, the waves part for me. That's right. And people part for me. And they back off. And they tremble. Not because of me, the flesh, Zeph, but because of what's in me that they sense and they run. And oh, how they run. So I do move around as necessary. But if the Father tells me, do not move on such and such a day, do not go there, I don't go there because they could just as easily go from that to throwing a spear at you. You understand? All things under the Lord. Now here I've arrived at Jeremiah, and I have another word for you. And I know you'll be getting tired of Jeremiah 50 and 51, but sorry, you know, if the shoe fits. Because the Lord hath spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice, when her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voices uttered, because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of them, their bows are broken, for the Lord God recompenses and shall surely requite. That's right. The Lord will ultimately. We are in captivity in Babylon right now in the same manner of the Israelites in captivity in Babylon as prophesied by Jeremiah the prophet. Okay? We are in the same, the exact same situation. We are born with a number. We have, it's kind of like a house arrest. They're not people with uniforms on, but like in the case of Daniel, you know, there were, he was free to move about to a certain extent, but he was surrounded by controllers and handlers, of course. And when summoned by the king, he would go there. You have rules, regulations, jobs are offered, jobs are taken away. You are steered throughout your life. You are in prison and you are given your opportunities in prison. They're all organized for you ahead of time. They've got nothing to do with your free will choice. You think you choose this job over that one. No, it's all handed to you. It's all planned for you. There is nothing random about it. You're in prison. They give you a job in the prison. You go do your job. You get an idea to go get a degree in something. Even that was handed to you. That's all been controlled. So how do you really be free? And the answer is that which is born of spirit is spirit. And that information is here. And the Lord, be patient, because the Lord will recompense Babylon. I believe the people in America today who are here now are the living witnesses of the destruction of America. Now, America has been destroyed. Now, let me put this, make this very plain. America was destroyed a number of years ago, but overtly America is now destroyed on paper because they're going to put forth legislation this fall about the NAU. Okay, you're going to be hearing about it more and more. But the plan has already been decided in the back room and even in legislation. America is over. It's Mexico, America, you know, Canada, USA, Canada, Mexico, the North American Union. That's been decided. So that prophecy that I prophesied about America came true, but not with violence. That will come later. Not with violence. That will come later. And I'm, like I said, if some of the predictions that I gave you back in 2002 were to come due, you wouldn't be here right now. So those have not come due yet. Others have come due. Iran, we are in a covert war with Iran right now. That prophecy, if you will, if you want to call it that, or that prediction, if you will, has already come to pass. Don't let anyone tell you differently. When they say they need to see bombs dropping, that's not the way it works. You know, when they say we need to see martial law with these thugs, these Darth Vader thugs up and down the street, that's not necessary if the people have already agreed to enslave themselves and police themselves as they have. We are in a state of martial law already. So you see, all these things have come to pass, but America is already over with. That's why I tell people, when you say, they say fight for your country, that's an abstraction. There is no country for you to fight for. So what I say, if they want you to go kill people for them, quit, because it's just these oligarchs who want you to go kill and be killed for their almighty Amero currency to come. All this has been done and decided. So you have to understand that all these things have already come due, and we've watched them over the last 5 years. Over 5 years, all these things happened. America was destroyed over 5 years. Iraq and Iran, Middle East, incursion has occurred completely and totally. We're committed for the next 100 years on that. War on terror has taken off to become, you know, a permanent thing. The boogeyman Al-Qaeda, Goldstein, whatever. All this has taken place in the last 5 years, exactly as predicted. Alan Greenspan and those of his ilk went away. As predicted, in comes a whole different banking system. After the antiquity of Greenspan and his system, now we're talking about destruction of the dollar and a new currency since Greenspan. So all that has taken place. All of this has taken place. The reason that you don't see a lot of terror right now is because why spoil a good thing? If the Americans are going to let it happen, and they're going to cooperate in everything about the NAU and the Amero, then why attack? No need if they're going to go ahead and continue not only their slavery, but continue policing themselves. Now, eventually, the noose tightens around your neck because you are an outcast. You have the same problem. Now, in Rastafari land, those people, like I said, I affirm, it's okay to shoot one in the Caribbean and you won't get in trouble. And that's how it's going to be for you. So whatever it is you got to do, you might as well do it. They know who you are. They know you're an outcast, that you are that. And they feel that they have the legal right to use you as a battery, to use and steal your labor, to go ahead and just abuse the hell out of you. Well, I won't put it that way. To abuse this living spirit out of you. They believe they have the right to kick you in the teeth every day if they're frustrated. And that's, you need to be aware of this situation so you can walk in spirit, because you're in the kingdom of God. They're not. You live eternally. They don't. I've seen where they go. They go to another prison after this life, which they can't get out of. No matter what door they try to get out of, it's over. They're done. You're not. You go where you want to go. When this life is over, you don't have the flesh. You become transfigured like Jesus. Elijah talking to Jesus. Jesus telling Elijah something. All these things and all these people and all these Elijah and Moses and all this are your brethren. Enoch and so forth and so on. You have a kingdom. You have a place. You're just simply here. You're in a physical prison, but spiritually you're free. Meaning what's real is spirit. Flesh is not real. Ultimately, it's a created form, but it's in a fallen state. In other words, there isn't a fusing of spirit and flesh because that part's been taken. Well, you don't have that problem. You're born of spirit, so you walk in spirit. So you're truly free, and it doesn't matter really what they say, whether you succeed, whether you make a dime, whether you make a buck, whether you don't make a buck. None, you know, it doesn't matter. What anyone thinks about you doesn't matter. That's true freedom. Handlers and controllers, hey, how you doing? I'm not at war with them. I see them around me and around you. Not at war with them at all. They don't have to make an effort to hide. I already know who they are. I knew before they ever showed up. See, they think in the spirit, you see all things. So you see who's in, who's out, who's this, who's that. I see everything. And so do you. I can see who my friend is and who my friend isn't. I can see which people are spiritually dead that are out there ministering on the internet like a bunch of idiots. I see that. They think they have authority and they don't. They're out there with no spirit. spiritually dead, preaching on the internet, thinking they know something, when what they need to really find out and what they will find out eventually is that they have not been born again, because that which is born of spirit is spirit. So even when you do a Bible teaching or something, it's not this literal thing. Everything takes off into the eternal spirit, into the kingdom, where we have our joy. Being in kingdom is to be in joy. It's to be in concert with God. He is within you, furthermore, and the power of God's within you. Imagine the power of God within you. Think about what you've got. The power of God, the Creator, inside you. Now, that means that most of the time, where you go, what you speak is not only listened to, but feared. And you are not to be afraid, and you're not to allow them to tell you not to take your power. Most of what church is today is to rob you of your power. You have the power of God in you, they don't. They got some demonic power. You have the power of the Creator, they have some demonic. Which one wins? So the kingdom has already come. The wedding feast occurred within you. This entire story is already past tense. And before you start calling me a preterist or what are all these other names, you're all wrong, because that's not even what I'm talking about. Because you don't get it, because a lot of you people that use labels like that, you're dead of the spirit. You don't listen. You don't look. You don't see. You just see what's in the newspaper, what's written on the surface of your Bible. You don't see what the Bible means and says. You don't communicate with God through it. You browbeat people. All right, with that, we are going to go into a communion today. So I'm going to, it will be available on Friday. That's today. But it will be run, and then I'm going to break into the broadcast on Sunday, and we will spend a good 15 or 20 or 30 minutes in communion, and I will go over that. And what I want you to do, come for your preparation, come Sunday, because this is going to happen right away in the morning, and then we'll have our guests. But we're going to deal with communion. We're going to do a cyberspace communion. Have your bread, have your wine ready, because we're going to be in communion live with one another. We're going to be holding hands, brothers and sisters, because if the kingdom's in me, that's what I realize. Kingdom in you, there is no separation between you and me. We are in the same room, so to speak. So we may as well celebrate communion and what Jesus did for us together. And that's what we're going to be doing. And we'll be doing this all the time, because I realized that there is no separation. I have no prison, not even a physical one. The spirit is more real to me than the physical. So therefore, I see all you brothers and sisters right now. And so we're going to do this on Sunday, and we're going to be blessed, and we're going to receive the Lord's blessing, and we're going to bless the Lord. We're going to really, what we're going to do is we're going to commune. We're going to hook up. We're going to be, you know, connected hip and thigh. We're going to be yoked together with Him. We're going to be in His grip and His embrace. And we're never going to let that go. And we're not going to lose our power again or pretend we don't have it. Okay? I'll see you next time. God bless.
Full of disgrace, but smoking young, you got older, slower and slower, you sped to fade out. Burn, you gave out. You were. and a good man.